Hebrews chapter number 2. If you'd stand with me out of the respect of the reading of God's word, we're going to get right into it. I'm preaching to one specific group of people today. You say, how many people are you preaching to? I don't know. All right? But if you're in that group, I hope that you'll listen, and I hope that the Holy Spirit pricks your heart as we read, and I hope that you'll be attentive. And if you're in that group, I hope you will respond at the end of the message. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 2, verse number 3, it says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? And let's pray. Lord, I love you. I thank you for this day. God, what the people need to hear more than me is you. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd empty me of myself. I pray that you'd help me to preach exactly what you want me to preach. I pray that I wouldn't waste time in areas that I don't need to waste time on. Holy Spirit, I pray now that you'd wipe out any distraction. I pray that you'd silence every cell phone. I pray that you'd silence everything going on in this world. And I pray that just for a few short moments, you'd help us to see this important truth that salvation is an emergency. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to every single heart. Father, if there's someone under the sound of my voice or in the sound of the children's church that doesn't know for sure that if they died that they'd spend eternity in a place called heaven, I pray that this day, this moment would be their day of salvation. In your precious name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If we were to go back to Hebrews chapter number 1, and you can turn back one page if you want to, I'm going to start reading in verse number 1. Of Hebrews chapter number 1, the Bible says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir to all things, by whom also he hath made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and the upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. That word sundry means several times. Several times past, God used prophets to preach his word. God used prophets to write his word. But then one man came onto the picture, God's only son, Jesus Christ, and now that is who God speaks through. And the rest of chapter 1 of Hebrews goes on to tell about angels and the purpose of angels and how they minister. And then chapter number 2 begins with a question that is very pointed and it's very direct, and the writer doesn't beat around the bush. He says to every single person that reads this, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You say, Brother Young, what is the so great salvation? What's so great about the salvation that you are speaking of? Well, I'll tell you, the salvation that I'm speaking of is the only salvation that you'll find in the Bible. It's not a salvation of the Baptist church. It's not a salvation of any other denomination. There is only one biblical salvation, and the Bible describes it in Hebrews chapter 2 as so great salvation. So what makes salvation so great? Well, Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Right. If you've never done anything wrong in your entire life, I want you to stand up. And I'm going to sit down because I don't want you to think that. And if you think that for a minute, you can ask my wife and she'll tell you that I'm not. But you know what? We're all sinners. None of us are perfect. None of us are just this flawless human being. None of us are God's gift to mankind, all right? You know, sometimes, especially like teenage boys and men, sometimes you think you're God's gift to mankind and you're this big guy that's going to change the world. And there's only one man who was God's gift to mankind, and his name was Jesus. And you know what? The Bible says that we are all sinners. But it doesn't stop there. You say, that's pretty harsh, Brother Young. Yeah, I know. But it doesn't stop there. It goes on to Romans chapter 6, and it says, for the wages of sin is death. Now, we know what that word wages mean, right? It's a payment. It's a payment. That means because I'm a sinner, the payment for my sin is death. That means if James Young got what I deserved, I would die. And guess what? We're all going to die someday, aren't we? And that's the wage that we have for our sin. But then in Revelation chapter number 20, the Bible takes it a step further. And it says in Revelation chapter number 20, verse number 11, it says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. And this passage culminates with this verse, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." You say you can attend every single service at Blessed Hope Baptist Church for the rest of your life, and if your name's not found written in the book of life, you're going to be cast into the lake of fire. Your father can be a preacher, and if your name's not found in the book of life, you're going to be cast into the lake of fire. I don't care if you're the vilest wretch. I don't care if you're the best person the world has ever known. You are a sinner. I am a sinner. And if I got what I deserved, when I stand before God, he would cast me into hell. And he would you too. All right, that's pretty straight, pretty simple, pretty straightforward. You say, "Brother Young, that sounds very harsh and very mean." Well, I'm not trying to be, friend, but I want us to see something here, and we're going somewhere because there is a bad side to this, but God, in his love, the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse number 8, he says, "But God commendeth his love in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And that's the hope, that's the joy that we have. But you see, friend, salvation isn't something to be casually thrown about. This is a very serious decision. This is a very personal decision. And your mom and your dad and your grandma and your grandpa and your cousin and your friend, they can't make it for you. It's your decision. It has to come from your heart. And Romans chapter 10, verse number 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and shalt believe with thine heart that God hath raised him, Jesus, from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Whosoever, there's no requirements, there's no, you have to be this tall or have this much money or go to this church or live in this. You have to realize, number one, that you're a sinner. Number two, that because you're a sinner, if you got what you deserved, you would die and you would spend eternity in a place that wasn't created for you, the lake of fire. But God, in his love, saw you and saw me, even though we were sinners, even though there's people out there who will never accept him, God sent his son, and when he did that, he set on display an indescribable love, and that love was the love of Jesus Christ for me and for you. And when he hung on that cross, and he shed his precious blood, and as his blood came coming down that cross, young people, you realize Jesus died for your sins. Not just the sins of your grandma, your grandpa, your mom and dad. Jesus died for you. He did it personally. He died for every. You say, how could he do it? Because he's God's son. And he did it for every single person. And you know what? I want you to see this. You know what salvation is? Salvation is the acceptance and acknowledgement of your sin. It's the repentance for your sin by confession of your mouth and your heart. And it is when you understand that it's only Christ. It's not Jesus and church. It's not Jesus and your good works. It's not Jesus and your goodness. It is just simple faith in Jesus Christ that saves you. And you know what? The Bible says if you accept him freely and unashamedly and you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, he promises that he'll take you to heaven. Now you say, "Brother Young, why are you yelling so much?" Well, friend, I want to ask you. I want to ask you something. Are you saved? Are you saved? It's a very simple message. There's not a whole lot of deep theology here. All right? Are you saved? Because Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 3 says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?" Come
Number one, salvation is an emergency. It's an emergency. It's not something to be put off. You are on a crash course with death and eternity. Proverbs chapter 21 says, or 27, verse number 1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. James chapter 4, verse number 14 says, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Samuel, can you come up here real quick, sir? I want you to stand over here. Now, Samuel, over here is where you're born, okay? Now, over there is 100 years from now, all right? Now, you live to be 80 years old, all right? Now, I want you to walk somewhere in between 0 and 100 where you think 80 is and stop. Walk a little faster, all right? Your life, all right. All right, 100's the end of the platform. Take a couple steps back, all right? Now, from birth till 100 years, he got pretty far, didn't he? All right, walk back here, all right? Faster, there you go, all right. Act like Jesus is coming, all right. Now, from your birth to 1,000 years, I want you to walk where you think 80 years would be. 80 out of 1,000. Come back a lot further than that. All right, you're about right here, okay? All right, just take a step over. Got to work on these fractions, all right? 80 out of 1,000. Now, 80 years out of 1,000 isn't very much. All right, go back to where you're born again. Now, Samuel, you lived 80 years. That's a long life, wouldn't we all say? Now, here's your birth, and the end is eternity. How far are you going to walk to go 80 years? Yeah, thank you. You can be seated. Do you see how short our life really is? When we look at it in our perspective, we're like, wow, I lived for a really long time. But in light of eternity, where do you even begin? You're a drop in the ocean. You're one little droplet of water splashing into the ocean of a time. And your life is that short. James doesn't even describe it as a drop. He describes it as a vapor. All right? It appears for a little while and then it vanisheth. Folks, salvation is an emergency. And 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse number 2 says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Salvation is an emergency. Number 2, let me just say, escape implies urgency. Escape. That word, escape, implies urgency. Now, how many of you have ever been to a Walmart parking lot before, all right? All right, now, how many of you have ever been to a Walmart parking lot and you've heard a car alarm go off? Now, how many of you honestly thought someone was being robbed? No, okay, a couple, all right. You know what most of us think? What dummy, all right, hit their car alarm, all right? Shut it off, all right? You want to yell at them, why? Because we've heard the car alarm so much, we've lost the sense of urgency. And you know what we do? We don't rush over there and we don't run to aisle number D over here and stop and say, sir, are you being robbed? No, we're like, hey, would you shut your car off, please? Because we've heard the car alarm so many times, we've lost the sense of urgency. And you know what I fear what happens sometimes is you come to church and you hear about Jesus and you hear about his saving grace and in your mind you've just lost your sense of urgency. You're like, well, if I go to another service, I can get saved then. If I go to, hey, listen, friend, the word escape implies urgency. Jesus, the word escape implies that you need a way out. That you need a way out. Listen, if I said, hey, everybody, I want you to listen to me real quick. Look up here. I just want to let you know there's a fire in the basement. It's in 3 of the rooms, but don't worry, the deacons have it handled, okay? Last time I checked it, it only spread to a few areas. You know, I think we can safely have service. Wouldn't you say that, Brother Brian? No, you know what we do? We'd all be getting out of this place. We're not waiting around. You want to wait around to see if you burn or not? No! If there's a fire, I'm going to get out here, or whoever's going to come rushing in there, and they're going to say, there's a fire in the building, get out. And you know what? Let me just say, there's sin in your life. and you can't do anything about it. Why don't you get out? Why don't you just confess? Why don't you just give your heart to Jesus? Why don't you just say, God, I know I'm a sinner. Please come into my heart and save me and take me to heaven when I die. Why not now just become the day of your salvation? Why put it off? You wouldn't put off a fire. You wouldn't put off a bomb threat. You wouldn't put off an active shooting. But we will sit in church and we will put off salvation. You want to know why? Because I've been there. I know. Escape implies emergency. Escape implies that you need a way out. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Friend, he's your escape from eternal hell. Jesus. Number three, and this is where we'll end, and it's not a long message, although this is going to be a long point. I got to have a little humor in here. You think I'm just a mean old man up here. Or mean young man, rather. I'll always be young, though. That's the joke, you know. My dad always used to say that my mom married him so she'll be young forever, all right? But you know what, friends? You have a decision. Our last name's Young, if you didn't know that, all right? If you didn't. I saw a few people looking around like, what in the world is he? What is he talking about? I'll make you laugh so I can get a drink of water, okay? But friends, you have a decision. You can either accept it, you can reject it, or you can neglect it. You only have three choices. And you know what? A lot of people accept it. And you know what? If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me just say that's the best decision you've ever made in your life. But if you haven't, that's who I'm talking to today. That's the crowd. If there's never been a time in your life that you know of that you have know that you've asked Jesus to be the perfect payment for your sins, you have two choices. You're either going to reject it or you're going to neglect it. Now, most people don't reject it, Brother Brian. I've met a few people in my life who I've presented them with the gospel of Jesus Christ and they've said, no, I absolutely don't want anything to do with that. And you know what? I feel sorry for those people. Because according to the Bible, when they die, they're going to spend eternity in a place called hell. And as much as I might not like that person as a person, I don't wish hell on anyone. Hell's an awful place. Hell's a real place, by the way. If you're going to believe what the Bible says about heaven, you have to believe what the Bible says about hell. And you know what? As good as heaven is, hell is equally as evil and wicked and bad. And you know what? But you know what a lot of people do, Brother Brian? They don't reject it. They neglect it. They neglect it. They say things like, well, I'll do it tomorrow. Friends, you don't know if tomorrow's going to come. Well, what about this one? I just don't believe that a loving God would send me to hell. People say that. It sounds silly. I've heard it hundreds of times. I just don't believe that a loving God would send people to hell. You know what they're saying? They're making an excuse, and it sounds spiritual. I mean, it sounds good, but it's not biblical. Because I'll take you, let's go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And I'm going to knock two excuses in one point. The other one is, first of all, God wouldn't send a loving God wouldn't send me to hell. And the second one is, someday I'll stand before God and he'll figure it out. I hear a lot of people say that. Someday I'm going to stand before God and he's going to figure it out. Well, friend, he already has. He's already decided your fate. And here's what it is. 1 John chapter number 5, verse number 10, it says, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. Wow, that's pretty harsh. You made him a liar if you don't believe what he says. Because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and that this life is in his Son. Look at verse number 12. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. You say, Brother Young, a loving God wouldn't send anybody to hell. No, he wouldn't. That's why he sent Jesus. Amen. And if you don't accept the gift that he already gave you, you're going to go to hell because it's your fault. It's your fault. It's not anybody. We play this blame game in our world today where everything else in our life is everybody else's fault. Well, let me tell you something that is your fault. Your acceptance or neglectance of salvation. It's only up to you. Your mom can't do it for you. Your dad can't do it for you. Your preacher can't do it for you. Your bus captain can't do it for you. The only person that can save you is Jesus, but it's your decision. Jesus Christ will never force himself on you because God is a gentleman and Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. And if you'll open the door, I will come in. But he's not going to come into your heart unless you let him. If you're in here and you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, let me just beg you, let me plead with you, why not? Why not? Why not wait? Well, you say, well, I'm embarrassed or I think that, I think that people will make fun of me. Listen, a true Christian would never make fun of anybody that trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. I'm just going to be honest. I'm going to share my testimony. We're going to wrap it up here in the next probably 10 or 15 minutes. I grew up in church. Every Sunday I sat right where that young man right there sat. Almost every Sunday I sat right there. Big church. Sat about 750 people. Sat on the front row because I liked it. I grew up in church. I love church. But you know what? When I got to be about 10 years old, I started hearing preaching like this, and I realized something. If I died, I didn't know for sure that I'd go to heaven. And you know what? A preacher got up and he preached a great salvation message. And you know what I did? I sat in my seat. I didn't say a thing. Didn't say a word. When invitation came, time came, and he said, if you're unsaved in here, would you raise your hand? My hand didn't go up. You want to know why? Because I was embarrassed. My dad worked for the church. You know, I was considered what most people would consider a good kid, all right? You know, at least I thought I was. It wasn't true, all right? Brother Young was even worse, all right? Brother Roger Young, all right? You can tell him I said that. He's not here, so I'm talking bad about him, okay? I'm just kidding. I would say it to his face. All right, anyway. But you know what? Week in, week out, I would hear preaching like this. And I would hear messages like this. And I would hear about the need and the urgency of salvation. And I would sit there, and I didn't have any pew to grab hold of, all right? You know, you hear about people white-knuckling the pew. I was sitting on the front row, so I couldn't white-knuckle anything. I guess I white-knuckled my knees. I don't know what I did. But I would sit there, and I was miserable. Because I'd sit through church services like this, and I'd hear about salvation, and I know in my heart that I had never been saved. And year after year after year, I sat through church, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, knowing I wasn't saved. Young people. And then one day a preacher made a statement. God got a hold of my heart, and as a 13-year-old boy, I didn't even walk forward. I was weeping so hard on the front row of church. A man from up on the platform saw me, and as soon as the preacher said, if you die today, are you 100% for sure you go to heaven? I raised my hand and said, no, I'm not. And that man came down, and right there on the front row of the Claysmore Road Baptist Church in Lexington, Kentucky, I bowed my head and I said, God, I know that I'm a sinner. I'm sorry for my sins. Please come into my heart and save me. And on April the 6th, 2008, to my knowledge, that was the first time I had ever prayed that and meant it in my heart. And you know what? That's the day that I got saved. But you know what he preached on that day? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And there was something in my heart, Brother Brian. I don't know. I don't know if this was just God's will or God speaking to me, but there was something in my heart that I knew if I didn't get saved, I would spend eternity in a place called hell. You say, Brother Young, wouldn't you have heard the gospel later? I don't know. I don't know. Did you know I'm 26 years old, and apart from church, I've never had anybody in my entire life ask me if I'm for sure that I'm going to heaven. Never had a coworker ask me. Never had someone in the store. Never had someone in the gas station walk up to me and say, I'm concerned about your soul. If you die today, are you 100% for sure you're going to heaven? You say, but you would have heard it in church. I guess I probably would have. But folks, what I'm saying is don't lose the urgency. Hey, young man, young lady, If you're in here and you're not saved, why not just get saved? You say, well, Brother Young, I'm afraid of what all my friends will think about me. Well, I'll just say something right now. I wouldn't die and go to hell for anybody. I wouldn't die and go to hell for anybody. I don't care what they think. And you've got to get to that point where you're like, well, I got unsaved friends. All right, well, why don't you get saved and then try to get them saved? Instead of letting those unsaved friends, those worldly friends, convince you that you don't need salvation or that you can just neglect it, that you can just put it off. And by the way, I'm not just speaking to teenagers. I'm speaking to adults too. If you're in here and you're not saved, let me just say that it is an emergency. It's not something that needs to wait. And as soon as the invitation starts, I hope that you'll come down here and we'll have someone take the Bible and they'll show you what I just showed you and you can just trust Jesus Christ, and then there's no need to be ashamed about it anymore. You know what? I'm not ashamed of who I am because I'm saved. And by the way, if you truly are saved, you won't be ashamed of who you are. That's what the Bible says. That's not what Brother James Young says. The Bible says in Romans chapter number 10, in verse number 10, it says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Friend, if you're saved, you shouldn't be ashamed of it. There should be nothing to be ashamed of. Let me ask you. Let me urge you. Let me beg with you. Let me plead with you. If you're not saved, if you're lost, get saved today. It's not something that needs to wait. Don't wait till tonight. Don't wait till you're in your room alone. I hear people, well, I want to go alone. I want to go alone. Well, why not just accept him right now? I mean, why do you, there's nothing in the Bible that says you have to be alone. There's nothing in the Bible that says you have to, oh, I hear other people say, well, I want to clean up my life. I want to get things right before I give myself to God. That's silly. Why would you not give yourself to God and then let him do the cleaning? When you catch a fish, you clean it. Right? I mean, you know, if you're going to eat it, you don't look tell the fish, well, you better get yourself cleaned up. Get yourself right. Then get on the hook, because I certainly don't want to do all that work. You know what Jesus says? Listen, if you're unsaved, get saved. And then let me do the work. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Lord, I love you. God, I thank you for this day. God, I know that this was a hard, direct, simple, pointed message aimed at one, maybe two, maybe three, I don't know how many people. But Father, I pray that they would have the courage to say that they're a sinner that needs a Savior. As we start this invitation, we ask that you'll bless.